When your dog doesn't eat, don't worry. This is Dr. Herbert O'Reilly, veterinarian of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with When Your Dog Doesn't Eat, Don't Worry, thought for today. All the time we are so concerned about eating 3 meals a day, 4 meals a day, 8 meals a day, 6 meals a day. This is what we're told. Our dietitians say we should eat smaller meals and more often. And that we should eat meals that are beneficial to us and that they're this. And that this is the way our body is best able to handle these things. And this is the amalgamation of the most beneficial use of our foods and what goes on. They said, this is human nature. This is the way things should be done. Now, animals eat when they get food, and they go chasing food, so they exercise. And they run through the forest looking for something to eat, like the coyotes here on the ranch and the property around here. Coyotes are always out looking for something to eat. And my neighbors have a pack of dogs that are giants, you know, like German Shepherds, bigger. And they go rummaging around everywhere. They like to come over on our property and investigate whatever there is to investigate. And then Rex comes along, and Rex says, "Hey, you guys want to play?" You know, his tail is wagging, and he says, let's play. And they all run away because they know they're where they not belong, where they don't belong. And so they run away. But then Rex just goes up to him and says, "You guys don't need to be afraid. You know, this is a friendly place here." And they'll come back and they'll wag their tails and they'll nose around. But they realize that they're not on their own home grounds where they should be, and which is good. Now, animals eat when they can get food. And they're in the jungles, they're in the wilds, and they eat well. Wolves eat very well in the north country, you know. They eat whatever they can get a hold of, and they eat well. Deer and buffalo and antelope and moose, all different types of big animals. When they run out of things to eat, what do they eat? Bark. They eat the bark off the tree. And sometimes they have a pretty scarce, pretty limited diet. But they do just fine. Their bodies handle that because they are designed to really not need food at all. But the food is just something to keep their system going. Now, dogs are like this too. Dogs are animals. I don't know if anyone ever told you that before. A dog is an animal. And a dog comes from a heritage of being a searcher for food, whether it's vegetables or whether it's animal matter. It doesn't matter. He likes to go after it. Okay. We have read about mice that they have put on starvation, near starvation diets, and how these mice lived 9 lives longer and healthier and sexier than the rabbits who were on a proper diet. Now, maybe the diet that's called proper isn't really so proper. Now, we are told to feed our dogs 3 to 4 cups with each meal, depending upon their size. Now, a little love doesn't get anything like that, but Rex is 100 pounds, and so he's supposed to get 3 to 4 cups of food with every meal. Well, I gave him 3 to 4 cups with every meal, and that wasn't enough. So I thought, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to give him a self-feeder and let him feed himself with whatever he wants. And so he goes over there, and he takes a couple bites now and then, and he goes off to do other things. He knows now that that food is always going to be there for him. Well, 2 days ago, he stopped eating as well as he did before, you know, voraciously. And I thought, good, he's mellowing out. But then he got down to the bottom of his self-feeder, and there's still maybe a couple of cups left in there, but he wasn't touching it. And I thought, what is going on here? So I took the self-feeder up on the counter and dumped a little bit of food out onto a cloth, and then I found it was full of ants. So one by one, I disposed of the ants, got rid of them, and then I attempted to give it back to him. He didn't like it, because the ants apparently left some sort of a trace there, or poison, that didn't please him. And so I even put oil on it. And he's eating some of it, and some of it he's not. But anyhow, I'm not going to... I took some of his fresh food and put it in a bowl and gave it to him to eat, and he wolfed that down. So I realized that perhaps there is something left over. Now, how am I going to keep the ants out of his self-feeder? Well, the best way to keep it out of the self-feeder is to fill the self-feeder half full instead of all the way full. That way he'll empty it more often, and every time he empties it, I take a cloth and clean it out nicely, and anybody else living in there is going to be washed out. It's going to be wiped out. But they say that dogs don't need all the food that we give them, and they don't. They are trained by nature to eat less food and to be happier with less food and get along just fine with less food. But no, we as human beings know better. We as human beings know best. We as human beings know what should be done. And we as human beings with a DM after our name, or an MD after our name, or whatever it is, a doctor of veterinarian sciences, or doctor of medicine, or whatever we have after our name, now we really know something. Okay. You know. And what do we know? All we know is what we read in books. Now, how many of these doctors who are offering this advice are really researchers? They really take dogs and check out what kind of foods they like. And so, some of the places that make the dog food say, oh yes, we check that very thoroughly. We do this, we do that. Well, I know how they do it with people. And if they do it the same way with people, with dogs, they're not going to get a very good picture. So, I would rather go with doctors of alternative medicines who like to say that the medical science has shown mice put on a low diet lives longer, healthier, and happier. Now, does this apply to human beings? If we were put on a shorter, starvation type diet, that we'd live longer and so forth? No. Okay, now, you are going to live longer and shorter. I mean, longer and...
both at the same time.
Yeah. You're going to live longer, and you're going to live healthier, and you're going to live sexier, and so forth. Now, but the joy of eating will not be yours, because you won't have those croissants. You won't have those butter buns. You won't have those, what do we call those sugar donuts that were so famous?
The donuts.
Yeah.
Crispy crisp donuts.
Yeah. You won't have them, because they're too rich. Now, what if you were to die happy and live a life of maybe 30 years and die happy? How about that? And be sexy all that time, and be happy all that time, be healthy all that time, and then at the end of 30 years you kick off and you take off another body somewhere, Now, that's the role that Jesus played, remember? Mm-hmm. In his day they lived until they were about 30, and then they all died. Now, why did they die? Well, that just was the thing to do, I guess. So they died. Now, Methuselah and a bunch of the other cats, they live
thousands
of years, or hundreds of years, or whatever they live. And at least they're supposed to have lived that long. Mm-hmm. Now, what did they do with their lives that made it so exciting? Well, all I know is that they had must have had a great diet, because they were producing children right after the end. You know, they were really sexy. They were really healthy bodies.
Exactly.
They didn't have wheelchairs. They didn't have doctors. They didn't have doctors. They didn't. Doctors weren't there. There were no doctors of medicine. There were people who knew how to tie a splint around a leg or something, if you, or shoot you, you know, whatever's easiest. Because if a horse gets a broken leg, you shoot him rather than letting it heal, because the horse will never be good for whatever he won't be good for, you know. It was a broken leg that's healed. So, isn't that interesting? Herb, what are you recommending, that we set up a new time schedule for our life, that we live until we're 30 years old and then pass on or go to another dimension or whatever? Yes and no. I am suggesting, and I do suggest, and I do say, if we would take the mental attitude that we have through 30 and have that virtually with us all of our life, how wonderful that would be. And we live a couple thousand years. But if you could act like a 30-year-old person for your entire life, and healthy and sexy and all that other good stuff that you want to be, wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't that be exciting? Now, what would happen if everyone were like that? And everyone lived a dynamic, exciting life, and they lived hundreds of years, healthy bodies. What if doctors had never come on the scene? You know, this is a truism, but it's stupid. More people die in the hospitals than are helped in the hospital.
Oh.
That's because people go to the hospital to die. People go to the hospital when it's the last resort. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, there are more dead people in the mortuary than you can imagine. You know what a mortuary is? Yeah. Is that strange? Why?
Because that's a mortuary for.
That's what mortuaries are for. Well, that's what hospitals are for. Hospitals are for doctors to do research on bodies and things like that, and to say, with this, you're going to have that, with these, you're going to have this. Now, why is it that as the years go by, and let's say from the year 1500 to now, you know, which is quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
That's that's 3 years. You know, now, what has happened in those, what would you say?
Yeah, 508.
Yeah, from 1500 to now. 1500 to now is 1500 to 2000, or 1000 is what? To 2000?
From 1500 to 2000 is 500.
500. And then from 2000 to 2005 is?
2005 is 2005. We are 2008.
So we are 800 years more, or 8 years
five.
More.
508 years.
8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 508 years. Now, that doesn't sound long, does it?
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Now, 508 years, what has happened in that time? Doctors have become professional, and they have learned about disease, and they've learned to put names on diseases, which they never did before. Because most people died of old age or died a natural death. The natural death means they stop breathing. You know, their hearts stop beating. Now, that's a natural death. But now, they want to call it everything else under the sun. Now, they're putting names on things. And so, what are they feeding to the population? They're feeding the population all of these problems that are coming up in medicine. all of these things that they're figuring out. And as they're figuring out, what are they doing?
Giving power.
They're giving them power, and people are accepting them. People are putting them in their lives, saying, yes, I have cancer, I have this, I have that, I have the other thing. You know. And then, when we get rid of it, then it comes back again. Because somebody brings it over from overseas or something. Illnesses into America that they have put away. They've blocked all many different illnesses, and then they come as they're reintroduced. And then, what do? They have the flu epidemics. But now, the flu is becoming so terrible that whatever they used to use to clear up a flu doesn't do it anymore. And then there's so many new kinds of flus, and each one has their own demand on it. Now, what happened? Where were all these things all these years that we were living healthy lives, you know? Interesting, isn't it? Now, what are we doing? We're prolonging people's lives. We're putting them in rest homes. We're doing all sorts of things to them and letting them live longer and longer and longer. And they're doing nothing. They're having no benefit to themselves or anybody else. Many of them are comatose. They're almost like they're in a coma, you know. They're just doing nothing, having no desire for anything, and nothing helps them. Now, but we must keep them alive. Now, why are we keeping them alive? Now, I'm not saying we should kill people or not kill people, but I'm saying years ago, we lived much healthier lives than we're living today, if you want to really be true about it. And, of course, the doctors will say that's not so. Look at all the new medicines we have out for the new diseases we have and the new problems. Well, when you ate foods that were natural, you didn't have a lot of problems. When you ate foods that didn't have pesticides in them and didn't have things poured all over them, you know, the fruits were sprayed to keep the bugs off of them. Well, in the early days, you picked the fruit and canned it, you know. You didn't leave it on the tree. I went through our orchard down here, our peach orchard, and there's maybe about 200 or 300 peaches up on the upper levels there. And if we don't get them down, we're going to invite the birds there to eat them all, and then they'll eat the good stuff that we can reach too. Now, yeah, that's why people clip the top of trees. They have the tree the height that they can work on. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if you got ladders, you can go up there, but they do that. You see, but we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I would like to suggest we have here a healing university. And the healing university is about healing. So, we start speaking our word that we have a healing university and that we deal with healing. Now, what do we eat? This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. Now, it doesn't say it's doesn't have any pesticides on it, or doesn't have this or that, or it's a hybrid, or it's whatever. We say it's healthy for my body and filled. That's the only thing we have in our mind. What will happen to us? We will be drawn to take only those foods that are healthy for our body and filled with love into our world. Any other food will have no interest in it. No interest in it whatsoever. Now, we think that we should feed our dogs a lot. Well, obviously we shouldn't. We shouldn't feed ourselves a lot. But we want to. Okay, so let's just look at it. Tell me, please, as quickly as you can, how old is a dog when he dies, usually?
15.
16. 16, somewhere in there. If he gets to be 30, he's an old codger, but he's no good to anything. He's just a bundle of flesh, you know. But 15, 16 years, and then they go. Isn't that interesting? Now, why do we want to prolong a dog's life beyond what it is the dog's scheduled to do? The dog has arthritis, the dog has rheumatism, the dog has bad liver, bad lungs, and blind, and so forth, and we want to prolong his life. Why? Because we love loving the dog. We should just take the dog and let him be put to sleep and get a fresh one. Get a fresh one. If our husband gets too old, put him to sleep and get a fresh one. You know, you say, Herb, that's terrible. But I say, if that is terrible, then let's do something about it while we still can.
Yeah.
And what we can do is to see our dog whole and perfect at all times, and feed our dog from our wisdom, not from his
desire.
Survival need, you know. I'm feeding him what he wants and making a test on it to see how it works. And basically it's pretty good, but I'll have to see further. But the point is, what are you doing to yourself? What are you doing to yourself? Are you overfeeding yourself? Are you giving yourself foods that are not beneficial to you? And then I say to you, if you are a pig out on chocolate cake with chocolate frosting and chocolate ice cream on it, you know, if you're a pig out on that, hey, and who isn't, I guess, eat it up, because I love what the doctors are saying. Yesterday, the doctor said chocolate was good for you. Then all of a sudden, chocolate became not good for you. Because chocolate does this, that, and the other thing. And now chocolate is back good if you eat the dark chocolate, because the dark chocolate has these things, which are the antioxidants and all these other things. When we were kids, we'd play antioxidant-free, you know, so we'd hide behind the tree, and things like that. Well, this is what the medical profession is doing today in the scientific profession. They're finding all reasons. And you know what? We've been doing our utmost to keep people from smoking. Now they're saying smoking is not so bad. And now they're saying that drinking
red wine, white wine,
but a quart, not a quart a day, but maybe a pint a day, maybe a pint and a half of red wine or a beer. You know, that seems small, but it's a lot. And they say it's good for you, that the alcohol is good for you, that it's a stimulant to your body to move it along good. Well, now, my goodness sake, who's making up all these interesting things, you know? Somebody who wants to have fun. Now, do you have fun drinking? Do you have fun eating? Do you have fun doing these things? Then go for it. But if you feel healthier, now Ellen just finished a 3-day diet accompanied by Sylvia and Bee, and she was on the lemonade diet. And she just drank lemonade for 3 days. After the first day, she said, wow, I feel good. And I think to myself, you silly, silly, silly lady. You know?
Why don't you leave it?
You silly, silly, silly lady. Yeah. If you feel so good after one day, why don't you balance this throughout, your month by having maybe a third of every meal, a third of your meals every day be this juice, you know? Like the juice for breakfast or for lunch or for dinner. Just that. And do you think that the antioxidants would be helpful in there to you? Do you think that it would make you feel good regularly? Do you think you'd feel real good? No. And the answer is, I don't really choose to try it out. I'm hungry. I'd like to have a steak right now. I've just come off this juice diet, and I'm ready to enter back into the fun stuff of life, you see. But no, we do to ourselves.